is another week of Small Town Expectations. I am so excited for today's guest. It is the one, the only, Hales Bassing, a.k.a. Haley, my girlfriend. I really like this girl. So, people were talking crap on the Facebooks a couple weeks ago, and so, it's understandable. So here's what people have to understand about interviewing you finally, right? This is something that we've been talking about since we started this podcast, and it was your birthday on June 29th, and so we were going to do this special, like, Haley episode for your birthday, and I was actually, like, I got really emotional about it, and I was just really excited just to be like, I'm going to interview Haley, and it's her birthday, and just in case you don't know this about Haley, her birthday is a national holiday. People have to recognize it. She won't let anybody not know that it's her birthday. And people really love that it's her birthday. I think that, like, that's like a really, that's a, I mean, across the board, like, people get genuinely excited about your birthday.
Hopefully.
No, I'm being serious. I'm telling you, I'm not asking you. it happens. So we were going to do that. Life got crazy ridiculous because we had this big birthday party at our house, and we just had to do so much to get ready for this birthday party. It felt like we made yard games, y'all. Like, she cut blocks of wood into yard games, and then I sanded them because then she was working every night. And so it was just this really, really crazy time, so it never actually happened. So then, like, let's see, about a week ago, let me go back to this post. Let's see, it was on, no, darn it, I screenshotted it, so I can't see what day it was, but, it was last week sometime, and, Haley shares the podcast on her Facebook and is like, everybody should be listening to this, which is what a good girlfriend does, and it's what every other listener should really be doing, is liking and sharing our podcast and sharing our page and our post and all of those things, because we want this to be something that everyone gets to listen to. But ultimately, here's the point I'm trying to make. She posts that we have a podcast, radbrandy.com, and her best friend, Cian Hazen, shout out to Hazen and to Javi and Cian. And she's like, Cian comments back, hashtag, where is Haley's interview? Haley responds with hashtag Hale's too busy, ha ha ha. Cian responds hashtag fair. I wanted to respond and I never did with like something along the lines of like, I don't know. I can't remember what I was going to say, but it was going to be something super salty because I was just like, life is crazy. So then we're thinking about who we're going to interview for this week, and finally we're just like, why don't we do Hale? Like, we're going to do you, you know? And Haley's thinking that's what she said right now. I know she is. She's just not going to say it. So here is the interview of Haley. And I feel like this is going to be a popular one just because so many people really love you. You're shaking your head. People can't see that.
Good.
So, Haley, first thing you have to do is tell people about yourself. Like, who are you? How old are you?
I'm Haley. A lot of people, I feel like, don't know that. I feel like I'm very Facebook famous in this little world of ours. People come up to me all the time and is like, hey, Hales. And I'm like, I don't know you. And they're like, well, I saw pictures of you and of your dog and all these things. So I feel like that's something that you can contribute to being in a small town.
Is that people know your Facebook name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't know my actual name or how to spell my actual name. So if you're one of those people that do know my name and how to spell it correctly, I appreciate you.
Also, she appreciates the people who just call her Hales. I think you really do.
Yeah.
You care about everybody. So it's funny because sometimes I'll think that I'm being really funny and I'll be like, hey, Hales. And she's like, Brandy Rose. What the heck? So, and we laugh and it's funny. Ha ha. All right. So tell us about growing up. You grew up in Bloomfield, and your parents still live there. And they're just really genuinely wonderful people. And I think that's already, like, how many minutes are we in? Like a whole 4 minutes, and I'm like already teary.
Yeah, that's weird.
Stupid. So really, your parents are just these really genuinely kind people, and they're still so good, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would love for you to tell people just about growing up in Bloomfield and your parents.
Yeah, I don't know what much there is to be said about that. I grew up in Bloomfield. My mom worked in the school system my entire life. And so Bloomfield is a smaller community than what we live in right now.
Ellie's going bonkers in the background.
So I think, I don't know, I feel like I grew up in some kind of spotlight because all of the people that worked in Bloomfield schools knew who my mom was, therefore they knew who I was. My mom was also the cheerleading coach while I was a child. So we were at every basketball game, every football game. And people, these cheerleaders, now I'm an adult and I'm able to run into them, and obviously they're adults too, but it's cool to see those people because they knew me as this little girl. And I'm not that person anymore, but you still have those connections. You're still able to say hi to them on the street, or some of them are good friends of ours still.
Well, and I think that you comment often on kids, like at cheer, just practices or rehearsals, about how they are just kind of going bonkers and off the wall. And you're like, man, if I was doing that when I was a kid at cheer practice, my mom would have lost it. And that, I think that's totally true. I think you learned a lot just from being at those practices, and you learned a lot from, you learned a lot of discipline in that time.
Yeah.
Right? Also, it forced you to be around your sister a lot. And I think that you and your sister have a really close, special relationship.
Yeah.
And friendship too.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, I think that's really special. And it's just something that was forced upon you because you had to go to these practices every day. Okay, so your mom tells this really funny story about you falling asleep in her office. And she went to like a basketball game or something, and then all of a sudden was like, oh my gosh, where's Haley? And so she calls the office secretary and realizes that you're just sleeping in her office because you're just a sweet little nugget who never did anything bad or wrong.
Sure, as a child, I was very good.
Yeah, it's going to change. You'll learn later, folks. So Haley grows up in the small town of Bloomfield. Tell us why you ended up going to Farmington, a Farmington high school.
At the time, we lived in Mesa Benzano, which is a neighborhood right in between Bloomfield and Farmington, so I was able to transfer to Farmington schools pretty easily. But they have, Farmington had a golf team, and I was pretty interested in golf, so I was able to start going to Mesa View as an eighth grader, so I could play golf, and I was on their team as an eighth grader.
That's cool. Did you love it?
I did. I was this weird, fat, chubby kid.
You were not fat or chubby.
In eighth grade, I was.
Oh, whatever.
A ton of pictures. And it was a transition. It was just a different, I don't know, I feel like eighth grade wasn't easy for anybody, but then to go in there and not have many friends because it was a new school with new people. Luckily, though, I was friends with the Chris's, Chris Marcus and Chris Price, because we all went to Bloomfield schools together.
Oh, yeah,
and
then
they transferred at the same time. And Chris lived in my neighborhood, so it was really easy to be friends with him. But one of my good friends all throughout high school, Amanda Herrera, she lived down the road. So we started riding the bus together. And then in high school, she got her driver's license before I did. So we rode into town together and we did theater together.
Yeah. And Marisha, she played golf with you and she lived just right down the road from you at Mesa Manzano too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of PV people who lived in Mesa Manzano, which, it, folks, if you don't know where that is, I mean, like, it's significantly far from Farmington. It's not really not that far, but it's, I mean, it's out there, right? So it's always interesting that that is, it's in the Farmington School District.
Yeah.
I've always thought that was really strange. Okay, so you live in Mesa Manzano. There's lots of PV people who live there. And you eventually go to high school, right? You're at Piedra Vista for just a year. Because then ninth grade, your ninth grade year was the first year that the schools in San Juan County changed to freshman going to high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was your first year. No, it was. Like, I'm telling you it was. She's looking at me like I'm wrong.
I believe you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she goes up to her freshman year, and you play golf.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us, I know that you did other things other than golf. What else did you do at PB?
Young in, I didn't do much more than that.
You were in theater.
Not as a freshman.
Okay. So, really, I was trying to lead you into telling the listeners about being in theater. Y'all, this is how we function every day.
Until I cut this out and nobody even knows.
Oh, you're not. Oh, you are not cutting this out, ma'am.
I'm a very firm believer in that everything happens for a reason and people's paths cross for a reason. And looking back at it, my friend Amanda, she really shaped everything that I have. She was in theater early on in high school, and then she was like, Haley, take this stage management class. And I had to take this stupid intro to theater class to be able to take that stage management class. And I just did it because she was like, we should take this class together. And a couple of my friends were in that beginning acting class. And we presented that year, for whatever reason, we were the only year where the intro kids did the children's theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I was Chinese Cinderella. And I hated every second of it. I passed that.
Oh, it sounds really awful.
Beginning acting class with like a C. And I had to fight for that C.
It was like the only C you ever got.
Yeah. It was terrible. I hated it. So that was a good life lesson for me, that I don't like being on stage. And of course it took trying it to realize that that wasn't it. But then I was later able to be in the tech theater class. And potentially that shaped my future. I mean, everything that I do today is because of that one step 15 years ago.
And I think the friendships that you made in theater, too, are really special. Because you're still best friends with some of the people that you were in Piedra Vista Theater with.
Yeah.
And I think that that's significant. It speaks to the family that is theater. It speaks to the family that is anything that you really just give your all in, right? Like girls who play softball. Like, that's their family.
Yeah.
You know, if they let it be their family, that's their family. Like, you have to let it happen for it to happen. But it's just like kids in theater. There are some kids who don't let that happen. And they just talk mess on social media and things like that. And they're the kids who aren't incredibly happy.
Yeah.
And it's really sad, because then I see those posts and I'm like, but you're so good and people do like you. You just gotta stop talking crap on social media. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so if you let it be your family, or let it be a family, then it's really special, and it's really something that's so good for individuals.
Yeah.
Right? Especially young individuals. And I think that you, and please stop me if I'm like really overstepping here, but like, I think for you, you have a special place now. This is, of course, way fast forward. We're going to talk a lot more about the in-between, but now you are in PV Theater as a teacher and as the theater manager, and you get to see kids every day who are struggling with things that maybe you struggled with a little bit too. And maybe your struggles were a little bit later in life, but now you get to talk to them, and you get to be a role model for them, and you get to just be somebody that they get to look up to.
Are you crying?
A little. Because I see those social media, like, DMs and, you know, like, personal little back and forth stuff of kids who are in just bad places, and it's not even their fault.
Yeah.
And you get to be a role model for that. That's so cool. All because of theater. Okay, I'm gonna stop crying. Now you have to talk.
Yeah, I agree with that, though. Being in the theater, this could very easily turn into a promotional thing of why arts are so important for students, and you learn all these things even without learning them. You know, I think you learn more life skills in theater than you learn anything else. You know, you could teach theater out of a book, but you can't teach people how to get along with each other, or how to love each other, or inspire each other. And those are the things, those character building things that happen. And even if they come out of bad places, you know, a lot of kids making fun of kids, or whatever you're able to build off of those and turn them into good things.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so after PV, what happens?
I got a scholarship to go down to New Mexico State University. And so I was a theater major there for the first couple years. I got into some trouble with their theater department because I like to think that I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof back in my prime.
I feel like this is like only part one of the Haley episodes because there's going to be more. Because there's so many good stories, like the story that she's not going to tell you right now. But in the future, I think she should tell you.
Sure. It'll be a train of people to drag down with me, though.
Oh, no, stories. You don't have to name names. No, we will not name names. Hello. Don't be crazy. So you got into some trouble. And what happens?
So then I switched my major to be a film major. The CMI program was very new at NMSU. I was one of the first graduating classes people to graduate from that program, which is really cool. Because now that program is on its feet. It's thriving. It's big. A lot of the professors, the same professors still work there. So when they were here shooting some stuff in Farmington, it was really awesome to be able to go up to them, give them a hug, you know. It was that, those connections that you make, even though it's not theater, it's still good people, it's still networking.
So how have you stayed connected to those people?
It's 2018. I mean, I have 1,000 Facebook friends, right. And it's really easy because, you know, 300 of them are people I met in college for whether it be theater or film that, of course, we don't talk every day, but you're able to look their names up and send them a message and be in contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably one of the positive things about social media.
And you've been able to actually plug your students into places at NMSU. Like you know a student's going down there and you go, hey, talk to this person.
Yeah.
Because you know that person via social media is still involved in whatever it is that, I mean, that's classic networking, right? I mean, yeah. That's you using your resources.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Okay, so anything else about college that you just want to really just share and tell people about?
I don't know, because there's a bunch of things that happen in college. I don't know. You figure yourself out. I came out when I was in college. I started partying a lot when I was in college. You know, a lot of things happen there.
Yeah.
So it was good. I think it's good. I always encourage kids to go to a university where you're forced to be out of your comfort zone. You're forced to be away from mommy and daddy. And I am spoiled and I come from a good family. So my entire life, I can't say that I ever really struggled with anything because I've always had a support system. I've always had relatively wealthy parents. And so,
okay, you say that you've always had a support system. Now, this doesn't mean, I just want to make this really clear, this doesn't mean that Haley gets bailed out of everything. This means Haley learns some hard lessons.
Sure.
Right? You got into some trouble and your parents were like, cool, you're going to be walking places.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was consequences. And I don't think that every kid or every young adult, that's probably a better way to say that every young adult gets that. Right? Like, sometimes kids who are young adults who come from families who are more wealthy and families who are incredibly supportive, they don't necessarily face consequences, right? And your parents really stood against that and they were like, you know, they didn't let that happen. And they said, like, they made sure that you were going to learn a lesson from that. And I think you did learn some lessons.
Yeah.
Right? And so, okay, so talk more about just not getting away with stuff.
I don't know. People talk about, like, partying and whatever, and we weren't hardcore, the group of kids we ran around with in college. And they all came at the same time, this drinking and the gays.
they go hand in hand, apparently.
They did. But we weren't crazy, you know. Like, we thought we were all hardcore because we partied every day for a week, but usually our alcohol included Sparks and Hypnotic, which is just sugar and a little bit of alcohol. You know, we weren't like doing drugs or anything hardcore.
But you were getting drunk often.
Sure. And still making it to our 8 o'clock classes.
Right. And still getting good grades. Yeah.
So there was, I don't know, looking back at it now, it's different than you see people with addiction problems or, I don't know, I'm old and times have changed. Things are different when I was in school than when these kids today are going to college.
Right. So, but so you talk about seeing other people with addiction problems. I think that's something that you eventually recognize, though, in your own life.
Yeah.
Right. And so talk a little bit about recognizing that and about that experience.
I moved around a handful of times back and forth to Las Cruces after I graduated college because I just wasn't sure where I was going to go with my life and what I was going to do. But I eventually made my way back to Farmington. I got a theater job, and that's what allowed me to stay here. And then that's just developed into what I do now at the high school in the theater program. But if there's a theater in Farmington, I've worked at it.
Yeah.
Or in the surrounding areas, which is cool. I'm very grateful for that. But coming back to Farmington, things are different. You know, people are different.
How old were you when you moved back?
I don't know.
Was it 2014?
13.
2013, so it was 5 years ago. Yeah. So you were what? You were 26?
Yeah.
So 26 years old, you're back in Farmington, and what's happening? I think you were working for the Civic Center then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was able to transition there after Greece. Farmington's just different. I always tried to compare it to Las Cruces, and Cruces is bigger. They were more progressive. We were able to do the vagina monologues there, and it wasn't a big stinking deal, you know, mm-hmm. where you say vagina in this town and people get weird and
already, like, people listening right now are, like, already feeling uncomfortable.
And I kept wanting Farmington to be what Las Cruces was, that people could be openly gay and it'd be okay, or they would have drag shows on campus all the time and it was okay. And, you know, Farmington wasn't that, and it's hopefully progressing towards that, but I can't confidently say that it is progressing.
I feel it starts to progress, and then something happens, like an election, and like just nasty stuff just comes out of nowhere,
yep.
and people just like literally like hit a brick wall and start going backwards in time. And I think that that's where we're at today in Farmington. And it's a little unheartening to know that, you know, a few years ago, it was a little bit more progressive. And then the oil field dies and people move away. And now it's like 1974 again, you know?
Yep.
So do you want to talk more about those lessons and about those experiences?
I guess. I mean, I don't think I've ever had a real bad personal experience being here in Farmington. There's never been, I don't know, a lot of things have happened to other people, you know.
You just hear about it.
Well, yeah, or even people that I'm with, but it's never really directly at me.
Yeah.
But I'm a little hippie believer that you attract these things, you know, and so I try not to attract that kind of hatred or anything. And maybe I got it when we were at the bar and I don't remember it, you know, but. Yeah.
So you talk about being at the bar a lot. You talk about being drunk. You're literally saying, like, I might not remember if people were really nasty to me. So talk a little bit about being blackout drunk all the time and what that led into.
I really narrow it down to summer of 2010. I had just left Raton because it wasn't what I wanted. Even though my two best friends were there, I thought I could do better living situation and whatever. So I went to Las Cruces and I worked at Target. I eventually got fired from Target because I was showed up to work drunk. And so that summer really is when we just started drinking and we drank all the time. And it was just this silly routine, but that's all we did. That's what my day was consumed with. And we thought it was cool that the bartenders knew us by name, which, looking back, it was probably annoying for them more than anything. But I came back to Farmington, tried to continue that lifestyle, and it's just different, you know. I was living at my parents' house, which they live in Bloomfield, so a drunk drive home is 30 minutes instead of 3 minutes, 3 minute walk home. You know, we used to live right by the bar when we lived in Cruces, so it was just different. Things are different.
And so big snaps, because how long have you been sober now?
3.5 years.
Which is so good. It's amazing. Because I hear just, you tell me stories and your friends talk about stories, and they talk about women that you were in your life and how just really toxic all that stuff was. And it all really comes down to substance abuse, right? And yeah. It comes down to just being blackout drunk and how that affects your life. And now here you are, 3.5 years later, like still, you know, not drinking and not blacking out and having good relationships with people in general, right? Yeah. And I mean, they're healthy. Like, people are healthy in your life.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I think a little bit of it too is like you're much better at discerning the people in your life and whether or not they are somebody who isn't like good, right? Because it's not necessary that we hang out with only good people or only people that are going to bring us or going to give us a foot up or something like that. Like, that's not what life is about. But life is about being around people who genuinely do something positive for your life, but you do something positive for their life too. And if that's not happening, then it's, you know, then what's the point?
Yeah.
And so, and I think that you have lots of people in your life now who that is true, right? Because you're able to discern those relationships just so much better. And is that true or false?
Yeah, no, I agree with it.
Okay. So now you, 3.5 years of sobriety, and there's so many things that are being left out of this little interview. But ultimately, where are you at now? Like, what does your life look like now?
I don't know. Part of that answer is funny to frustrate you.
Which
so there's that. My life is good.
You're so rude. Your life is good, but why? You have to elaborate.
Did you hear the clock tick in the background?
Yes.
I don't know. It's good for a lot of reasons. I mean, in my sobriety, I've been able to weed out those toxic relationships with people or the romantic relationships that didn't ever go anywhere. Because of my drinking, I feel like I ruined a lot of them. And because of their drinking, it ruined a lot of them, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just all kind of went hand in hand. And now I'm able to be in this relationship with you. We've been together for a year. It's been very successful. It hasn't been this emotional roller coaster like they usually are, or fighting or any of it. And it's good, you know. I really like you, and my family likes you, and you fit into my life. And that's cool, and that's what I've been waiting my whole life for, you know.
Great, I'm crying for the third time in this stupid interview.
But at the same time, I feel like I have my sobriety to thank for the job I have. I work in the education system. And I wouldn't be able to have that job and be an alcoholic like I was. I wouldn't be able to roll into work and at 1 o'clock start perspirating Bud Light like I did in the past. It wouldn't be okay. Plus, these kids would eat me alive mm-hmm. if I was in that mindset, in that brain function of how I live my life for a handful of years.
Yeah. And you're good at your job.
I hope so.
And I don't think that you hear that often enough. You're really good at your job.
Thanks.
And I think that the kids in your program, whether it's you and the summer theater, you know, young folks, or it's the young folks in your school, that you teach a lot of stuff too. Like, I made this joke when we first started dating about how hot it was that you're using a power tool, like you're using a drill. And, you know, and one of your students, you told one of your students that or something, like, yeah, Brandy's so impressed by the fact that I can, you know, use a power tool or whatever. I don't even know how that story went. But, and since then, like, that inspired those kids. In some roundabout way, those kids were like, teach me how to, how to cut boards and saw and nail them and screw them together, Haley. So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not saying that that's the thing that inspired them or encouraged them. I'm just saying it's one of those things that just because you, because of who you are and your energy and your personality and what you bring to the table, you make kids want to learn tech theater. Like, good. I mean, I can think of a kid just from this summer in the summer theater program. And I'm like, you better scoop him up. He's a homeschooled kid. You better scoop him up and you better tell him to do theater at PV. I think of that kid. And I think about the way that you were talking about him at the beginning of the summer. And you're like, he's cool and he's so green. And then I see the pictures of him running the light board and how excited he was. Yeah. And I remember the story of you telling me the story about him and the first time that he was pushing buttons and making the lights happen and programming and doing all of those things. And like just genuinely how proud he was of himself, because that was something that he was doing that he accomplished. And you taught him how to do that. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
You know, and I think that's something that educators take for granted and they, oh my gosh. And they like don't realize or don't take into consideration how really important that you are in young people's lives.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I'm not the only person to thank for that. You know, theater is a family and we work as a group. And so that summer theater program was ran by two of my good friends too, you know, so we can't leave that out. But, and that's one of the gratifying things about theater versus teaching math is that we could see these kids change throughout the year. We could see them be successful in a show that they put up by themselves and they do everything without me being right there doing it for them. Yeah. You know, you don't get that. And maybe you do. I've never taught in a classroom in any other way than this, but it's really cool to watch these kids put up a show.
I think for other teachers, it's special because you develop a relationship with students and like a math teacher, right? We're going to use them as an example. Yeah, sure. Like you can't see how math is going to shape their future. You don't know that, you know, teaching them how to do long division or whatever, how that really affects their life when they're 35 years old, right? Excuse me. But those kids do develop really, really significant relationships with their math teacher. And their math teacher is able to say to them and give them life advice,
yeah,
right? And able to see them at Target when they're 22 and say hello and see that they're doing well or that, you know, whatever that is. And I think that's something that's special for a math teacher. Because I want to make it very clear that educators out there are doing so much for teachers or for students, and they are so underappreciated.
Yeah.
It's really sad. It just made me want to cry. That was a little excessive. But you get my point, right?
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of, it has been like that always and throughout time, you know, with your teachers. It's not necessarily this day and age that the teachers are being unappreciated.
Right. I can think of a handful of teachers from elementary, junior high, and from high school who really just gave me some life stuff. One of them is Mr. Knoll, and he passed away a couple of years. Yeah. And, there's still things that he said that, you know, like they play in my head and sometimes I say them out loud and it's a Mr. Knoll, you know, quote or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was my science teacher,
yeah,
you know, and so he's the only teacher that could teach me chemistry on a level that I actually understood it. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, when I got to college and I had to take chemistry because it's a lab is required, I took chemistry because I felt like that was the one that I was going to be the most successful in because it was the one that I could remember the most from high school.
Yeah.
And it was because of Mr. Knoll. He was my science teacher when I was in junior high, and then he moved up. When we moved up to high school, he followed us up, and then he was teaching at Piedra Vista. He was a baseball coach, and just the way that he taught chemistry was so just, there was something very unique about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And now, yeah, here I am. I think about titrations whenever I go into a restaurant and it's busy and we have to wait for somebody to come out of the restaurant because that is titration.
How funny.
Yeah, you learned something today.
You paid better attention. I had his class too and I barely passed it. But he was a good man.
Yeah. Well, and he was a good teacher. Well, maybe not a good teacher for you, but for me, he was a very good teacher. So I don't want to ever cut anybody off when they're telling their story on this podcast. So what is there anything else today? Because listen, you're going to come back on this show because there's way too many things that you left out. And you're smiling at me because you're like, I did it to frustrate you. But I'm serious. So today on this show, is there anything that you just kind of want to plug or any story that you want to make sure that you get in?
I can never read your handwriting. So your little notes over there, I haven't distinguished what they say.
They're not for you. They're for me.
We should have brought you some tissues in. You should have known better.
Golly.
No, because I feel like this podcast has just been my story, and I don't feel like we really, unlike a script that you would write, we didn't really have a beginning, middle, and end, so I'm not sure what the message is, really, that I wanted to deliver today.
Okay.
But just a general, the way I live my life, everything happens for a reason, you know. Our paths crossed, if, besides for the relationship, but that we could encourage each other to do this podcast, mm-hmm. and hopefully you're able to affect somebody, even if it's just the friends that we have, some of our friends, our peers that have been on this show for you, you know.
Yeah.
And in theory, well, anybody could listen to this podcast anywhere, so it's affecting them, hopefully in a good way, could be in a bad way, but regardless, we're people in this world together doing something at the same time, mm-hmm. which is really cool.
Yeah. So that's a perfect segue into plugging the podcast. Make sure that you are liking and sharing each episode or just your favorite episodes, really. Go back and copy those links and then share them on social media. Because really, the more people that listen to this podcast, I feel like every week I learn of a new listener and I always genuinely get so excited. Like last night, a woman named Judy was like, I listened to your podcast, Brandy. And I was like, are you serious? And I got so happy. Good. And she was telling me that, you know, which episode she had listened to and which episode she had cried in and that kind of thing. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
And so share that with somebody. So, you know, of course, follow us on social media. I'm Rad Brandy on Twitter and on Instagram and on Snapchat. And then you can also, you know, follow us on Facebook. We're going to post a lot on Facebook. We post in Twitter. We really need to get on this whole making a podcast page. It's something that we've been talking a lot about. We haven't done it yet because we're kind of lazy, but it's going to happen. And then you'll be able to invite your friends to check out the page. If somebody doesn't have iTunes, this is really important. This is a question that we get a lot. You can just go to radbrandy.com. Radbrandy.com. All of the episodes are there. That's where they go up every other Sunday. And that's it. There's lots of ways for people to listen, you know, and to really just follow kind of the progression. If you want to be on this podcast, I would love to have you tell your story because that's what this is about. It's about people telling their story. It's about people sharing their experience with whoever might be listening and also just really giving people a glimpse into what it's like to grow up in a small town. You don't have to be from Farmington. You don't have to be from San Juan County at all. You can be from anywhere. So if you know somebody in another area that you think they have a story to tell, have them connect with me. They can email me at brandyrose9@yahoo.com or connect with me on social media. All of those are great ways to get plugged in. Haley, do you have anything else to say?
Sandstone. No, I mean,
your last week of Sandstone, you knucklehead.
I think it's important to allow people to know that we have the capabilities to do these podcasts over the phone.
Which is cool. Yes, that's good. That's a good
hopefully
point.
That doesn't shy people away from wanting to be on this, you know, and everybody has something that they want the world to be able to hear. So this is it. Let this be that outlet for them. Right. And that's the cool part about this podcast, I think, is that you're giving everybody a voice. You're bringing people together. Like, way back in the day, kids would crowd around the radio and spend that time together listening to something. And that's what this is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different version of it.
Yeah. So the last week of Sandstone, I'm just going to give it to you because she's not going to, is coming up. It's this weekend, August, what is it, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. This is the closing weekend. So if you want to see Mary Poppins in the closing weekend, you need to make sure that you get tickets online or visit Gateway Park and Museum or visit the Civic Center to get tickets because it is selling out.
Yeah.
And there's been some rainouts. And so people are going because they went on a night that it was rained out. And so make sure that you get your tickets in advance and go check that show out. It is so good. The kids are amazing. The actors are incredible. The tech people are amazing. And really just go and enjoy a show at Sandstone because it's a really incredible venue as well. So it's quite the experience.
So something that you can do, which I haven't told anybody except my Aunt Lynette last night, is that if you order your tickets online, there's a little place where you could put a coupon code. So if you use the code CAST2018, then you get a dollar off your ticket.
Hey, holla. First little promo code off of Small Town Expectations. So use CAST2018 to get a dollar off of your last weekend of Mary Poppins. So buy your tickets online.
Yeah, right now.
Cool. All right, everyone. This has been another episode of Small Town Expectations. Have a wonderful week.